Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello and happy Friday. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on July the 18th. Coming up today, there's a warning about the dangers of taking inflatables out to sea ahead of the summer holidays, and the home of a Kent footballer has reportedly been broken into. But first, taking a look at our top story today, and this is one of our most read stories on the website. Controversial plans for a £30 million luxury hotel near Deal have been scrapped after the intended operator pulled out. Now, Lucy's got some more details on this story, and she's joined me now. First of all, Luce, can you tell us a bit of background about the development?
Well, the plans were for a 120-room hotel in Bettshanger Country Park. It was going to include a spa, gym and a restaurant and bar, and there was also going to be space for 97 vehicles. All in all, the main four-storey hotel building would have taken up 2 hectares. Now, originally, the plans were much bigger when they were submitted in 2022, but they were rejected in 2023. Developers then revised the scheme and it was approved in 2024.
But it's not all been smooth sailing. There's been quite a lot of opposition.
That's right. Ever since plans were first announced, they were met with objections from those concerned about the impact the scheme could have on the park's unique wildlife. The former colliery is home to unique lizard orchids, turtle doves and skylarks, which would be displaced, and protesters have been quite vocal about their objections. Because of the backlash, there was a delay in securing planning permission, and it's believed that's why the chosen operators have pulled out. We don't know too many of the details, but it's understood the contract between a well-known hotel operator and the park owners expired.
So what does the future of the site look like?
Well, as part of the same project, a surfing lagoon was also set to be built in the park. Now, as far as we know, the company behind that scheme are still committed. The lagoon, which will be known as Sea Hive, and its associated leisure facilities will take up 15 acres, but will have to comply with dozens of stringent planning conditions. As far as accommodation's concerned, Bettshanger bosses are now thought to be considering other options.
Thanks, Luce.
Kent Online News.
Two men and a teenage boy have been arrested by officers investigating a serious assault in Ramsgate. Police were called to reports of a disturbance in Lawn Road just before 10:30 on Monday night. A man in his 30s was found with head injuries and taken to a London hospital. The suspects, aged 21, 18 and 14, have been released on bail while inquiries continue. Seven members of a people smuggling gang have been sent to prison for arranging for people to be taken from Kent to France in the backs of lorries. They organised for asylum seekers to arrive in the UK on tourist visas before being smuggled out through Dover. It's thought they carried out 20 operations between February and October 2023. They've been locked up for a combined total of more than 55 years. We're being warned of the dangers of using inflatables in the sea ahead of the summer holidays. It's after two people had to be rescued by lifeboat crews after getting swept out to sea from the Isle of Sheppey on Monday. In that instance, a pink Flamingo Beach inflatable was also recovered after drifting a mile away from shore. Daisy Page from our colleagues at KMTV has been speaking to David Parry, who's part of the lifeboat crew at Whitstable RNLI.
The lifeboat crew was paged by the Coast Guard on Monday afternoon. They'd had a 999 call reporting two paddle boarders being blown out to sea off Laysdown on the Isle of Sheppey. So we launched the lifeboat, went across, and we found them about 300 yards offshore.
Okay, and were the two casualties okay in the end?
They were, but they weren't going to get back without any assistance. There was quite a fresh breeze on Monday, around about force 4 to 5, and that was blowing directly offshore. So try as they might to paddle back, they were being blown out to sea faster than they could actually get back to the shore.
And could you explain to us what a force 5 wind means?
A force 5 is a fresh breeze. It's not spectacularly windy. However, the direction of it is important. If it's blowing onto the beach, then it's not a huge issue, because in an inflatable or on a paddleboard or a kayak or whatever, it's actually quite hard to get out to sea. But at least then, if anything goes wrong, you're going to get back onto the beach. The issue with an offshore wind is, although it appears very calm and inviting close inshore, the further off you get, within 100 or 200 yards, it starts getting a little bit more choppy. And then the wind really gets hold of them, and it's very difficult for them to get back.
And so you also found a pink Flamingo beach inflatable half a mile offshore. And do inflatables help, or can they just cause more difficulties when you're trying to perform a rescue?
Inflatables are about the worst thing to have on the sea in an offshore wind. They go very fast downwind and almost impossible in the opposite direction. The flamingo did actually belong to the two people on the paddleboard. I'm not sure exactly where it fitted into the story. However, on our way back to Whitstable, we picked up the flamingo and it's now safely ashore.
Have you seen an increase in inflatable-related incidents lately, or paddleboards?
Over the years, it's traditionally been children in inflatable dinghies and lilos and things that's been the issue. However, we get far fewer of them now, and we get far more calls to sit on kayaks and paddleboards. The issue with them is they sit on the surface of the sea as opposed to in it, and they're very susceptible to being blown by the wind.
So if people do want to paddleboard in the sea, what precautions should they take?
First thing is check the wind direction. Make sure it's not too windy. If it is windy, which way is the wind blowing? If it's blowing onto the beach, you're not going to get very far, but it's not a real problem. It's offshore winds that are the big concern. But in any conditions, we'd always suggest wear a life jacket or buoyancy aid of some kind. Have a tether so that you are physically attached with an ankle tether to the board itself, so you won't get separated. Also, have a means of calling for help. There isn't always someone on the shore to see someone getting into difficulties, so we'd recommend a mobile phone in a waterproof case.
Kent Online News.
A man's been arrested after he tried to physically assault a staff member at Canterbury West Railway Station. Video shows the suspect taunting the worker before trying to headbutt him at the barriers at around 4 p.m. on Saturday. The 35-year-old has been released on bail. Southeastern say violence against customers and staff will not be tolerated. Two men who used drones to smuggle contraband into Kent prisons have been locked up. A court heard they dropped off drugs, blades, tobacco, phones and USB sticks at HMP Maidstone and HMP Swaleside between May and September last year. The 38 and 40-year-olds have been sentenced to a combined total of more than 6 years. Now, it's understood the first conviction related to the post office capture system is going to be sent to the Court of Appeal on the grounds it was an abusive process. The faulty IT system came before Horizon, which also led to hundreds of wrongful prosecutions. Postmistress Patricia Owen from Canterbury was wrongly convicted of theft in 1998. Her daughter, Juliet Shardlow, has given a reaction.
I just wish she was here to see it. Because she would be... Oh, God, she would be over the moon. She'd be sitting here saying, well, I could have told everybody 25 years ago. I told them. No one listened to me. That's what she'd be saying. No one listened to me. No one took any notice. She would have loved to have seen Adrian again as well. She'd have loved the fact that Adrian had kept her report in his garage for all those years, and then he went and found it. She would love that. But I want to hear. Does that make sense? We can all sit here and say that she'd be really proud, but I want to hear. I want her to meet her grandchildren. I want her to live her life. She was a little bit older than Dad, and Dad's still going. Dad's still out and about, and she would have been the same. And she'd probably still be running that post office in Canterbury and loving every minute of it. She worshipped it, thought it was the fact she was a postmistress. She was so proud to be a postmistress. So proud. She'd tell anyone.
That audio there, thanks to Sky News. The MP for Tunbridge Wells says more funding is needed to make sure the school system is working for children with special education needs and disabilities. Mike Martin has spoken about the issues families are facing during a debate in Parliament.
So in Kent, over 21,000 children have an EHCP, which is 14% above the national average. And as a result of this rising demand and also some mismanagement by the previous Conservative administration, there was a send overspend in a recent year of nearly £100 million, and this is now being managed down by the Department for Education. And at the same time, alongside all local authorities, Kent has statutory duties to meet EHCP deadlines and provide provision. So this creates a conflicting pressure, Sir Edward, and it is the story of local authorities everywhere where there is rising demand and declining resources. And, Mr. Chair, there's one thing that I would like to just pick out here, which is that this balancing act creates a false economy. And when children don't get the support that they need, they fail in their educational setting, but that means they're less likely to achieve in the world of work, and it means that they're more likely to become a burden on the state in their later years. And so getting this right now creates a long-term economic benefit for our society. And so it is not just that it's economically right, it is morally right that we do this to create the life chances for the children under our care. And so back to Kent, under the previous Conservative administration, only 13% of EHCPs, 13% of EHCPs, were completed within the statutory 20-week deadline in the year running up to March 2024. And because of that, Kent was put into special educational needs, and I've called for a number of times for that to be continued, because there was some improvement. There was some improvement, and the improvement was that the provision of EHCPs went up to 65% within the deadline, and so Kent was taken out of special measures. But unfortunately, quantity does not equal quality, Sir Edwards, and I don't have time here to go into the litany of mistakes that were seen on some of these EHCPs, but incorrect names of schools, schools that don't exist, schools that aren't approved, schools that don't have funding, incorrect needs, spelling mistakes, I mean really, really basic errors. And often when families complain about these, they're told by Kent County Council to go to tribunal. And Sir Edward, this is something that I think is deeply cynical. Kent County Council has not been using tribunals as a last resort, but as a tactic to delay, to deter, and to exhaust families. In other words, they're using tribunals to get families to give up in seeking the appropriate support for their children. And it works. Tribunals are utterly grueling. Families and children spend months preparing for them. The emotional toll is enormous. All the while that you're preparing, and it costs, you have to get advice, legal advice, to go to tribunal, and all the while you don't know whether at the end of this year-long process whether you're going to get that special provision that your EHCP says that you require.
In a response to those allegations, we've received this statement from a Kent County Council spokesperson.
We strongly refute the claim that KCC uses tribunals to delay or deter families. We take our legal duty seriously to ensure children and young people with SEND receive the most appropriate support for their individual needs. We always aim to resolve issues with families directly and only engage in the tribunal process when a family formally lodges an appeal. With nearly 21,500 pupils in Kent supported by an education, health and care plan and more than 1,300 new plans issued last year, with a similar number this year currently being assessed, there are potentially hundreds of thousands of decisions that could be appealed. In that context, 1,273 tribunal cases in 2024-25 represent a small proportion. We have a responsibility to make fair, transparent decisions for all children with SEND while managing public funds responsibly. Our focus remains firmly on improving outcomes for children and young people.
In terms of funding, the government insists they're investing in education to help improve children's futures.
Kent Online News.
Business owners in Wateringbury say they're facing financial losses because of long-running roadworks. Bow Road was shut on June 23rd so SGN could replace the pipes. It's expected to take 12 weeks. Some traders have reported losses of more than half their usual income. The gas companies say they're committed to completing the work as soon as possible. A demonstration is set to take place in Dover this weekend, sparking fears of traffic gridlock. An anti-immigration march organised by the Great British National Protest will take place on Saturday. There could also be a counter-protest. It's the same day that's expected to be one of the busiest at the Port of Dover, with people making a summer getaway. Now, the home of Gillingham footballer Bradley Dack has reportedly been targeted by burglars. His wife, reality star Olivia Atwood, has posted on Instagram about the break-in at their house in Cheshire.
So, obviously, I can't go into too much detail because it's like an open investigation now, but there, yeah, some scumbags basically smashed a second-floor window, went in. Security team got the notification within like 30 seconds. They were there in 2 minutes with dogs. and the little scumbags ran off. They got some stuff, but they didn't get what they came for. And now I have to just show face because it's a really important work day and I'm feeling pretty tired, a little bit emosh. But yeah. Brave face.
She says it's been reported to police. Around 70 protesters were in the public gallery of a meeting in Ashford last night over plans to demolish Park Mall. It was a last-ditch attempt to save the site, which has been earmarked for a new car park. Traders still operating in the mall have been told they'll have to move out as councillors voted to go ahead with the plans. One protester shouted, "How can you sleep at night?" There was also anger after Councillor Bill Barrett was denied the chance to put forward a motion to retain part of the complex. He's told us it was undemocratic.
What happened there? This evening was a complete and utter joke, a failure of democracy at the local level. And I would actually say that many, many members in that room tonight were utterly disgusted, as was I. That's not the right way for the meeting to be conducted, which has incidentally all been recorded on the internet. And I think the people of Ashford have been fouled. I think they've been utterly let down because the motion that I was going to put forwards barely even got a listening. The mayor interrupted me a quarter of the way through it. And then we didn't have any discussion and any debate. So, I mean, a complete joke.
Kent Online News.
A homeless man's been recalled to prison after drinking 3 pints of lager at a bar in Canterbury, then admitting he couldn't pay for them. Christopher Elliott had initially gone to City Terrace to ask if they had any jobs going. The 26-year-old was on licence for a previous offence, so has been sent back to jail. He'll also have to pay compensation. A £500 reward is being offered to anyone who can identify a prolific tagger in Canterbury. Council bosses say they've spent thousands of pounds cleaning up graffiti left by the man throughout the city. We've shared his picture at Kent Online. Now, we've had reaction from a Kent councillor following the announcement the voting age is going to be lowered to 16 across the UK. It's been described as the biggest electoral reform for more than 50 years. It's drawn criticism from some political parties who say it's a confusing policy given 16-year-olds can't buy alcohol, a lottery ticket or even watch an 18-plus film. Reform UK's Maxwell Harrison represents the Isle of Sheppey on KCC. He's been speaking to Gabriel Morris from KMTV.
Quite frankly, you know, I don't think that young people such as 16 or 17-year-olds should have the right to vote. But if this is an attempt by the Labour Party to try and ease and sort of worsen our chances of winning the next general election, I think it's going to massively backfire on them. Support amongst Reform UK across young people between the ages of 16 to 17, we are very popular indeed. So I don't think they thought this one out. I think this is, again, a rushed policy to announcement to try and sort of quiet the storm that's going on in Number 10 with all the suspensions going on. I think it's for the birds, really, and I think it's a very desperate decision.
Do you support it, though? Is it something that you welcome, 16 or 17-year-olds, to be able to vote?
No, you can't marry. You can't get married at 16. You can't go to war at 16. You can't drive at 16. You can't buy alcohol. You can't buy cigarettes. Can't go into lottery. You can't even be a jury. And you can't even view an 18-plus film at the age of 16. But the idea that you're going to get then the constitutional right to then vote in elections, which is a massive, massive thing, you know, something which cannot be taken for granted. And this idea we're going to give it to people whom, quite frankly, irrespective of how talented, bright they may be, haven't got the necessary experience and are not classified as adults, I don't think that's right.
And I know, sort of, you touched on it there has been some concern, you know, I mean, at young age, it's easy to be influenced. Could say you're immature. Do you have worries about that?
No, I do. And I think, you know, Nigel put it quite well earlier. You know, the big issue for trying to reduce the voting age is that if you're not eligible to stand as a candidate in an election, you shouldn't be able to vote. You know, if we're going to then ensure that 16-year-olds can stand for Parliament, that's a bigger debate. I personally think that, again, is nonsense. You're 16, you're not mentally acute enough, and you're just not ready for that position in life. So I think I am deeply worried about it. But again, it's Labour, you know, policy after policy, since they won the general election, they think that they just rush things out, sort of to worsen the bad headlines, it's going to do well for them. You know, in a Merlin strategy poll that was released today, you know, support amongst young people at 16 to 17-year-olds, Labour is 33%. Next best is Reform on 20. 1 in 5, you know, 16 to 17-year-olds are going to vote for Reform UK. The way Labour are going, with a potential Jeremy Corbyn party, the vote share is going to collapse. We get a proper campaign going out. I think we could actually see Reform topping it. You are support among 16, 17-year-olds. So I think this is a massive, massive mistake. I think it's going to backfire on the government massively.
These young people have been telling Kristen Hawthorne from KMTV what they think.
I'm pretty excited to vote because I feel like like this generation is becoming more and more like aware of like politics, and they're becoming like they're forming opinions. So
I'm 13, and I think that it's really good that we're like the first generation to vote, because it really shows like all the older generations have an insight on how like we can improve the world.
Do you think you will vote?
Maybe. I'll see.
Do you feel like, do you worry at all that, you know, you might be confused with like the fact that you're not able to drive, but you can work and you can also vote, but you're not able to drink? Do you find that sort of confusing about what you are and not allowed to do?
Yeah, in some sort of way, because if you're like vote, you're kind of considered like mature enough to do like all the other things.
Do you find it confusing? Some 16-year-olds will find it confusing that, you know, they're not allowed to drink, they're not allowed to drive, but they're allowed to vote, so it's kind of, you're allowed to do this and not that. Do you find that confusing at all?
Not really. I mean, like, drinking and voting are two very different things. Like, I mean, drinking is, like, obviously it's bad for you, like, it's not great, it's, like, it's addicting, but, like, voting is, like, voicing your opinion and being, like, kind of, like, seen, like, in, like, being able to vote and that. But, like, I think it's, like, different, you know, so I'm not very confused about it, no.
Plans for a solar farm on the edge of a village near Canterbury have been approved. The site near Tyler Hill will be the size of 78 football pitches and include a battery energy storage system. It'll generate enough power for more than 15,000 homes. And the landlords of a pub in Whitstable are stepping back from the bar after 6 years. Mel and Chris Evans reopened the Plough in Swalecliff in 2019, 9 months after it had shut down. They've transformed it into a music and sports bar, but will call time this Saturday. They're urging locals to back the new bosses.
Kent Online Sports.
Taking a look at football, and it's another pre-season friendly for Gillingham this weekend. They'll host Luton Town at Priestfield. It follows a 0-0 draw with League One Reading last weekend. Speaking after that match, manager Gareth Ainsworth said tomorrow's game will be another tough test.
Big respect for Matt Bloomfield, as I have today with the Couigs, who own Rob Couig is chairman of Reading now, and Joe Jacobson, you know, massive respect for those guys. They're going to do a fantastic job. I can tell Reading fans that they're in good hands now with Rob Couig, really good hands. He's out there with some of his ideas, but I tell you what, he was right most of the time at Wickham, and we had massive success under Rob. And Joe Jacobson, one of my ex-captains, the boy who scored the goal at Wembley that got us promoted to the Championship. Again, they're in real safe hands. And then on to Luton, Matt Bloomfield. I can't say too much more than it has been said, you know, absolute inspirational leader, captain. One of the few footballers that I'd probably let take out one of my daughters rather than any of the others. He's a true gentleman of the game, and he's a solid, solid guy, and I hope he does brilliant at Luton, because they almost saved last year with him, but I think they'll have a great season, yeah.
Big test, probably. Toughest test maybe you'll have this summer against them, mate?
I think Luton's going to be a real tough test, yeah. I think they're a big, big, strong side, and we'll have to be up against it. It'll be a real good barometer of where we are next weekend, although the lads have really showed up today, and I'm really pleased with that.
Kickoff is at 3. Staying with football, and Ken's Alessia Russo scored a penalty to help England make the semi-finals of the Women's Euros. Last night's game against Sweden finished 2-2 after regular time, and the Lionesses went on to win 3-2 in a tense shootout. They'll play Italy next Tuesday. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.